How are you guys doing? Good. Anybody else get stuck by the closed road and have to detour around Aunt Bessie's barn to get here? You're from West Virginia. You know what I'm talking about. Yes. We know Aunt Bessie's barn. I am glad we all made it. It is the grace of God because, oh no, saw trees down in the road? Yeah. It's like that could have been while we were driving by. And instead we got totally unscathed. We're good. Okay. You're probably wondering why I've called you here. We've been asked to recap for you La Dia de la Mujer Latina, que tuvo lugar la 30 de abril 2011. So, is that good? See, the thing is, everybody who spoke at Women's Day could say that without thinking about it. I've got my piece of paper, you know, like going from this. It happened on the 30th of April, but it began all the way back last year. You may or may not know, I am not an... is that too loud? I feel like I'm blaring. I am not an idea person. I don't come up with ideas. I listen to good ideas and grab them and steal them and go put them into practice or help somebody put them into practice, but I'm not the one who starts hardly anything. So I was pretty surprised when God put it on my heart and on my mind to have a Spanish language Women's Day. But I couldn't help thinking that with all the talents and abilities that God had given to the awesome women in the Spanish ministry, that we could, and therefore we should, have a Women's Day. So I mentioned it to Cynthia Doble, who leads the women in the group, and I mentioned it to some of the other sisters, and nobody really said, we can't do that. It was like, oh, really? Well, maybe. So we went and talked to Sarah. And Sarah, with her wisdom and her experience, pulled us all together and took us from idea to plan. So we started having meetings, and Sarah sat us all down at the beginning and opened the floor. She said, you know, we need to decide on a theme. Everybody generate ideas. And she actually gave us a ton of time to come up with even more ideas, and then we all got together and discussed them. And we landed on the idea of Una Carta de Cristo, a letter from Christ, based on 2 Corinthians 3, verse 3. So everybody had an opportunity for input, and everybody had an opportunity to step up and use their talents. Leonor Nazawal was the one in charge of organization and communication. You can tell by my notes that I'm not that organized, and it's a good thing she was running that. Cynthia Doble took on the decorations with help from Mimois. Carmen Mazo and Astrid Ritter organized the food. Astrid also did the opening prayer. Natasha Peralta and Venus Parker did a skit, Como Somos, which is how we are. and Venus also arranged the background music. She arranged the clubhouse venue because it was at her apartment complex. And this was all despite having to deal with all the emotional and the physical ramifications of her father's sudden death in the middle of all our plans and everything. So it's a really hard time for her, and she was, you know, really giving in spite of it. Linda Medrano gives a scripture-based lesson, and Linda Trejo shared more of a, you know, experience-based, but both about how we can become a letter from Christ, you know, the before and after picture, kind of. And Cynthia closed the program with a prayer, and we enjoyed the food and the fellowship. There were a total, oh, wait, the brothers in the Spanish ministry. They offered to help at every level. You know, we were trying to do as much of it as we could ourselves, but we were certainly not going to not ask for help. So they really helped with the setup, they helped with the cleanup, they helped with a lot of the behind-the-scenes details that we would not have been able to do what we did if they had not done what they did. And that kind of teamwork is amazing. You know that only comes from God. A total of 46 women were present. 26 of them were visitors. Amen. There were disciples there from Gwinnett, from North River, and from other congregations. One of the sisters from North River stepped in because we had a last-minute need for babysitting. We encourage people to find other babysitting. But for all the kids who were there at the last minute, she voluntarily went and babysat them right then and there, you know, just looking to serve. And that was an awesome thing. Kat Watson, whom most of you know, had gotten word of it, and she came up from Auburn, Alabama, with three Spanish-speaking women with her. So, you know, and it was incredible. The fellowship, the level of giving. So far, there have only been two studies that have been generated from it, But that's two studies we would not have had before, and sometimes, you know, it takes longer for seeds to come up. And we trust God to definitely bring up more of the seeds and help them to grow. You know, we're doing our best with the planting and the watering, but God's the one who takes care of the fruit. Our plan was for that to be an event that glorified God and had a great impact on the lives of many women, and that's what we saw. The Dobles and the Trejos are en route to Chicago for the 2011 Festival de las Americas, which is a conference for the Spanish-speaking ministries in the U.S., the Caribbean, and Central and South America. But we have brought you a little taste of what happened on Women's Day, which those of you who were there will no doubt remember. Natasha and Venus are going to do their skit. It will be in Spanish. Those of us who didn't really follow every word of it could still get the gist of it. I think you really enjoy it, the delivery and the presentation and everything. And Linda Medrano is going to recap her talk and touch on Linda Trejo's talk, since she isn't here to do that herself. And I think Sarah's going to close. But Leonore is going to open us with a prayer in just a moment. But the scripture that came to mind as far as everybody giving, because it was just a great team effort. There was nobody there who was totally in the comfort zone. Everybody was striving to step up and really be like Jesus, really give to the people, really go beyond, you know, our comfortable limits for ourselves. And that's how we grow. But it reminded me of the scripture in 1 Peter 4, verses 8 through 11. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So, you know?
Dear God, thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to come here tonight to be here and hear your word and see what the Spanish ministry did on April 30th. Thank you so much for being such a great and an incredible God. Thank you so much for loving us the way you do, for protecting us the way you do, Father God. Thank you so much for being such an amazing God. A God that can do miracles, a God that can heal our diseases, the God that forgive our sins. Thank you so much for who you are. Thank you so much for choosing each one of us, Father God, in heaven, and bringing us here, Father God. Thank you so much. I love you, and I thank you for all you do every single day for each one of us, Father God. Thank you so much for giving us our jobs. Thank you so much for giving us our children, our husbands. And thank you so much for every detail that you take care in our lives. Thank you so much for Jesus and for him going to the cross. Thank you so much for the sacrifice that he did, Father God. And tonight, I beg you that what we did on April 30th that brought you glory. I ask you, Father God, that tonight, you know, the sister will be encouraged as we were before, Father God, on that day. And we continue to be encouraged, Father God, that you will do the same thing for them. And I beg you that all of those people that came that day, that some of them have come to church, I beg you that all of them will decide to study the Bible. I know that your word will never go empty, Father God, and I thank you for the things that you're going to do, Father God, in the future, and the things that you do for us every single day. Thank you so much, and it's in your son, Jesus, that I pray. Amen.
Buenas noches a todos. ¿Cómo están? I'm a little bit nervous. So if I start speaking Spanish, it's because I forgot how to speak English. So just bear with me. First, I want to thank everyone that it was involved on this day. El Día de la Mujer Latina. Can we all say that? El Día de la Mujer Latina, which is the Latin Women's Day. The day that we were planning, I guess when we all gathered together to get this plan, everyone was assigned to do whether to, like, like Carmen was assigned to do all the cooking with Astrid. Doreen, she was assigned to do a song. I was assigned to do the main speaking, which was very scary because I'm not a public speaking person. It's very scary for me. It's unbelievable. Sometimes, you know, I speak a lot at work. I do some, you know, I speak within the people that I work with. But these type of things, I'm not used to it. But with the leadership of Sarah and Nancy, they gave me the strength and the faith and the trust in God that anything can be done. So what really amazed me that day is to see how everyone got together to get this done. Carmen, you know, she worked the entire week before that day, and she went shopping with Astrid, you know, to get everything ready for that night and for that day. And she also she spent the whole night cooking, and the next day, I mean, she had to travel to Vinny's house and spend a lot of time making sure that we had the perfect meal for that day. Another thing that it really amazed me is to see how Doreen, she planned ahead, you know, to sing two great songs. She had everything ready for that day, and then things didn't work out the way that she expected. She wasn't able to download the music that she needed, that she wanted to sing. But that didn't stop her. She just continued, and with her iPod, you know, in her hand, that's how she ended up singing her song, and we were able to see how beautiful she sings. And I mean, it was just amazing to see that God was working that day. No, nothing was gonna make this day not to happen. And then I see these sisters coming. They didn't speak no Spanish, bringing their friends, Spanish-speaking friends. I really need to thank these people. I mean, Julia, Becky, Sherry, Dury, and then Kat Florence. I mean, she brought three friends from Alabama. And just to share a little bit, I mean, from Julia's friend, she was so amazed about what she saw that day that now she had her first Bible study with me last Saturday. And she is so encouraged, and she just wants to know more about God. So it's unbelievable. And to be honest, this experience has made me grow more than my faith. The theme of that day was called Una Carta de Cristo, a letter from Jesus. And it was based on the scripture on 2 Corinthians 3:3. And I want to read that scripture tonight. And it says, "You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the spirit of the living God, not on the tables of stone, but on the tables of human hearts." What I wanted to bring across that day was to kind of show what it is to to be before, what kind of letter you can be before you meet Jesus, and then what you become once you meet Jesus. And what I did is that I used examples of my life of how I became a Christian. But I also used a scripture in the Bible, and that was in John 4:1-42, which talks about a Samaritan woman. It shows the way that she was before she met Jesus, and then what she became after. Okay, so when I was studying that book, it amazed me how this woman was the letter that she was projecting before she met Jesus. She was a woman that was living in sin. She was immoral. And I kind of compare my life as far as her life with my life. Not that I was living an immoral life, but, you know, before God, all the sins are the same. There's no little, there's no big sins. So what I did is I wanted to show them that what type of two letters you can be, okay? You can either be what she was at the beginning. She was like I said before, she was living an immoral life, and she was projecting a different letter than what Jesus is. But then when she meets Jesus, and she talks to him, and she what's the word that I'm looking for? She opens her sins, you know, she makes it clear. She can't hide that from him, you know. So on that day, on that moment, she realizes that this is Jesus, this is the Son of God. And she believes at that moment, and she becomes a different person when she meets Jesus. And so what I also did is that I apply examples for my life. I show them how I changed, you know, the way that I was, the kind of letter I was projecting before I met Jesus. I was materialistic, I was proud, I loved money. But then when I met Jesus, I became a different person. It's not an easy thing to do. It's a fight that you do every day. You know, it's a constant fight that you do every day. But Jesus gives you the opportunity to get up every morning and try to change. So by this woman changing her completely attitude by switching to another letter, to another to confirm and to accepting her sin, she becomes an open letter from Jesus. Sorry, I'm just kind of like. So, what does she do? What kind of letter she becomes when she meets Jesus? Well, she confesses her sins and she declares that Jesus is her Savior. And what she does is that she runs back to the town of Samaria, and she doesn't care the letter that she was projecting before. She went back and claimed that she met Jesus, that was that Jesus was there, and that she was given the example that if she was changing, everybody could do the same thing. So the same thing as my life, you know, I was projecting before I met Jesus. I did so much, so many wrong things. I just but God had a plan for me. God began to show me what was I doing wrong. And also, he began to take things away from me. But it was not enough for me. I kept doing the same mistakes. Jesus, God punishes not because he doesn't love us, but only because he wants us to make us better. So, if this woman can change, why cannot not myself? Not why can I not do it? So what I did is that I began to make changes in my life. And I started projecting a different letter than I was projecting before. I wanted to become what Jesus wanted me to be. I became humble. Well, not, you know, I'm still trying to become humble. I'm not just there. But at least I'm trying, you know, and I'm trying to project that type of letter. I'm trying to show that I want to become humble. I'm not, for me, my life now is to do what God wants me to do. So, what I wanted to do today is to also show everyone that, I know that I'm going back and forth to the same thing, so bear with me. But it's just I wanted to show also that how can we be judged by our actions. And I wanted to challenge not just myself, but I wanted to challenge everyone else to see if they were happy with the life that they were living, or that they are living. But also to show them that there is a way out. That we do have God to rely on. So on that day, I was able to transmit, how can you change your life? How can you become a different letter from the way you are when you're in sin, and or when you want to switch to become the letter from Jesus? So I think that it was a spectacular day, because we got two people to actually study the Bible, and also to show that this is the beginning to a great opportunity, to a great future. With I really can't wait to see another Women's Day, and I think that it's going to be amazing. It's going to bring more people and bring more Spanish-speaking women to our kingdom. One thing that I wanted to share also is to share about Linda Trejo. She came to share some of her life, and what it really amazed me is to see how she opened her heart. That she didn't keep anything, to whether it was a little sin or a bad sin or anything. She just wanted to share how she got to meet God. Where was she coming from, you know? And she shared how she came from a very humble family, the way that she was mistreated when she was little, the way that she became pregnant, and then the way that she meets her husband, and then how she become to meet Jesus, and then how she changes her life to being out there in the world without Jesus, and then how her life changed when she came to meet Jesus. And how God will brought her to this wonderful husband that she knows now, and how she's trying now to to live the life that God has planned for her. So I'm very thankful for that day and for all the days that I think are coming. And I hope that that this experience that we had that day can bring more, like it did to me. It brought me into to understand that when God has a plan, nothing can change it. No matter what you do. I mean, I remember that I was a nervous wreck that day. I think everyone was trying we were trying to make sure that everything was going to be there. Nothing was going to go wrong. Things happened, but we made it happen. We were able to accomplish what we planned for so many months. And with everyone's support and Sarah's wisdom and, you know, Nancy and all the sisters that brought their friends to our Women's Day, it made it happen. And we couldn't have done it with all the support that we got that day. And I appreciate your time and listening to me, and hopefully the next time it will be better. Thank you.
Amen. That was fantastic, Linda. You did great. Nancy says she's not a lady of ideas. But to me, you always have different ideas. And I think what's amazing with you is that you always avail yourself to be used by God. And for me, more than anything, that's the best thing that we can do, is to avail ourselves that God can use us. And like he said, he adds to us. Whatever little we have, he keeps on adding. I think the most important thing is to have the heart for God. With all the sisters, we were only 10 women in the Spanish ministry. We had a baptism, and so now we're 11. But every one of the sisters volunteered. We were there that day, and we were meeting at Nancy's house, and Linda said, "I'll speak." And then after that, she goes, "What did I say?" And, you know, we encouraged one another and said, "You're going to do great, because it's God. It's got nothing to do with us." And we prayed and we said, okay, we've got to pray for a theme. And I think my responsibility was more to make sure that we avail ourselves to God. And I didn't really do anything. I just said, okay, fantastic. It's going to be awesome. We're going to pray and God will give us the victory. And I said, okay, I'm not going to come up with ideas, but we're going to do it together. And when we harvest together, God does give us the fruit and the growth. Leonore, she came up with that theme, and I think she'd watched a movie that really moved her. And so just one idea after another. But you know, when you pray, God does answer. Prayer is powerful. Prayer takes us from when we're nothing. Prayer takes us to greatness. God can turn and turns any situation around. It can be the valley of dry bones, but God turns it around and gives it life. Prayer is powerful in any situation in your life. Whatever it is you're facing today, you pray about it and have faith and trust God. God will turn it around. One of the things I really want to wrap around, two things. What Nancy and Linda shared about today were all the things that the sisters did. And what I want to finish up with is, in fellowship, we're bound for greatness. I just finished studying the book of Luke, and this is what Jesus said. That was very moving. It really just reminded the disciples about fellowship that I hadn't really seen. And last night, actually, I think it was pretty late last night, I read it. And I was like, whoa, I don't think I've seen this. And yet, I think I had, because I'd marked it in the Bible, but I'd forgotten. I was like, oh, this feels like new. Has it been here all this while? I don't know if you feel that way when you read the Bible. You know, it's like that shark. There were this shark deep in this deep blue sea. They were swimming, lots of them, and having fun, and they're swimming around. And then this shark looks around and says, there's a shadow going on. And he's twisting and turning and twirling around and looking and trying to figure what's going on. And, oh, obviously, you know, they're talking shark talk. And he's saying, what's going on with me? There's a shadow that keeps following me. And then he turns and he says, there's something on my back and I can't shake it off. And the other sharks looked at him and said, you've always had it. It's a fin. And I think sometimes we feel that way. You know, it's like, has this always been here? Well, that was my aha moment of yesterday. Has this always been here? Luke 22. The second aspect of tonight is I'm going to talk about fellowship and the beauty of fellowship. That God has a reason and a plan for fellowship. And fellowship is beautiful and awesome if we do it God's way. Luke 22. From verse 23. One of the things that reminded me before I read this is Jesus had to bear with the disciples that would grumble and complain and not understand and all sorts of things. He bore the 3 years that he was teaching them about our salvation and God's kingdom. And so we're jumping in the middle of, they had just been arguing and wondering who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. And so as I finished reading, I'm thinking, you know what? We are just the same. We grumble and complain about one thing or another, and we think sometimes we're all wrapped around me, myself, and I, and Jesus had to bear all that, and he still does bear with us today. And so we jump in the middle of all the things that Jesus had to bear for those 3 years as he's teaching about this amazing spiritual concept of what's coming along. Verse 23. Verse 20? Did I say 23? Okay, I do need those bifocals. Okay. They began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this, talking about betrayal. Also, a dispute arose among them as to which of them was considered to be greatest. I mean, Jesus had just spoken about somebody's going to betray him, he's going to be killed, the teachers of the law, and he's explaining, and it's like it just goes over their heads, and they're wondering, so who's going to be the greatest? And it's like, I'm about to die. And Jesus said to them, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors, but you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials. And then he goes on, and I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on the throne judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. And you can continue reading the whole passage. But what was poignant for me last night was this. It says, you are those who've stood by me in my trials. You know, when Jesus started his ministries, there were throngs and thousands of people crowding around him, that this one woman couldn't reach him because so many people were crowding around him. And at some point when Jesus started saying, look, I am the bread of life, people started walking away. When he started calling them to truth, calling them to change, and calling them that change has come, people started walking away. And he turns and he looks at these 12 people. And in just before that, he had told them that one of them was going to betray him. He says, you have stood by me in my trials. And he's telling them about the kingdom of God. And you know, together in God's kingdom, we ought to stand with each other in our trials. And not just in our trials, but also in our triumphs. in our need and in our victory. We ought to stand by one another. And I thought, wow, I don't know, maybe it was the late hour I was reading it. I was that shock, had this always been here? But it really resonated. And I thought, you know what? Jesus needed that emotional support. Even when he was God, even when he was wrestling to go and face the cross that brought salvation for you and I, he had those three disciples saying, please come with me. I am overwhelmed with sorrow. He was wrestling to submit and surrender. And then turning around, he knows that one of the people around them was going to betray him. If I knew that, I would not call you friend. And he turns. The thought of betrayal, betrayal is very painful. For me personally, I value loyalty. I value loyalty. And when just the very thought that somebody's going to betray me, I think I do self-preservation. I would rather walk away from that pain. But Jesus didn't. In fact, he said, come and do what you want to do, friend. Our salvation costed Jesus a lot, and he went through a lot for you and I to be saved. And I think sometimes we can take it for granted. But here he talks about the kingdom and what they meant to him, that they stood by him in their trials. And sometimes when we're wrestling, when we're struggling, sometimes we might not even be aware of it. And it means that you as a sister in fellowship ought to be able to reach to the person who's not even aware that that thing has been there and she's really wrestling, and you ought to pull her and say, you are in trouble. You are not doing well. That's part of standing with one another. That's part of taking each other to heaven. Because sometimes, you know, we have blind spots. All of us actually have blind spots. Some things are very clear, some things are not clear, some things are hazy. And that's the whole purpose of Jesus. Look at 1 Corinthians 12. Actually, before we get to 1 Corinthians 12, let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. From verse 14 to 18. Chapter 2, sorry. 14 to 18. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. Ephesians 2, 14 to 18. Dividing wall of hostility by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. And in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. Verse 17. He came and preached peace to you who are far away and peace to those who are near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. We're all a work in progress, but we're being built a building, and you are this stone in this massive wall. And you've got to make sure that you don't crumble on your part of the wall. Because God is building us. And like what Linda was saying, sometimes some things are not easy. Some things are easy. Some things are hard to do. Some things you just have to work on every day, sometimes every hour. But the most important thing is that you're working on it. Jesus looked at Peter. He said, Peter, you're going to fall away. Peter couldn't believe it. He says, what are you talking about? He says, but you are going to fall away. Satan has asked. But Jesus said this, but when you turn around, you turn back and help the others up. We falter, but the most important thing is that you get up. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12. Fellowship. being together, working together, taking one another to heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 from verse 12. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free. We were all given one spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, what would the body be? As it is, there are many parts but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts we think are less honorable we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lack it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for one another. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 1 to 9. Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? What after all is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. We are God's fellow workers, we are God's field, God's building. It's an incredible concept that, you know what, each of us, we have a part to play. Each and every one of us. It's an incredible thought. You matter. And I think sometimes we can belittle ourselves. Sometimes we can just not see the value and not see the way God looks at us. But you matter in God's kingdom. And God says you have a part to play. I plant, she waters, but God gives the growth. My encouragement is this, that we each look for our part, because sometimes we don't see it, but we each must believe that I have a part to play. Amen? Fellowship is a beautiful thing when we all walk together, encourage one another so we can make it to heaven. Amen?